This is a production of Cornell University.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to the Shortcut Early Bird Podcast, week 22 here in the growing season, joined as always with Dr. Frank Rossi. And again, Frank, we sound like a broken record. There hasn't been a lot of stress in the system. Temperatures have been fairly normal, maybe a little bit warmer last week. But we're expecting kind of a change up here in the next week, right, in terms of weather patterns?
That's right. Yeah. Good growing conditions. Obviously, things you're struggling with now are probably related to soil issues. But because we have had adequate rainfall through most of the area, it was warm last week, but a big dry upcoming. And we heard from Vicki Wallace that, that's not necessarily ideal in southeastern New England along the coast, where maybe a bunch of rain has been missing there now. A week or more of dry expected based on Art's prediction, at least the 7 to 8 days of it before we start to worry about some wet conditions again. So that, of course, brought up the question, both with good growing conditions and except for that part of the Northeast, a good time for throwing seed. So we had a widespread conversation about overseed.
Yeah, so let's start with kind of the homeowner lawn overseeding issue. Now, we talked about a couple lawns that maybe still have crabgrass in them and how we could possibly use that overseeding to not only control crabgrass but fill in some air spots, right?
Yeah, of course, this is crazy to talk about this like this, but especially that it's mostly professionals listening to this call, and hopefully their lawns aren't inundated or their turf areas aren't inundated with crabgrass because they've got a healthy stand of grass and they know how to use pre-emergent herbicides. A lot of what we find ourselves talking about on our conference calls these days are things that do-it-yourselfers struggle with, and what happens when they don't have a healthy stand and have pre-emergent herbicide down, they get inundated with crabgrass, and then they mow it for a while thinking it's the ideal grass species. Oh, it looks pretty good. And then now they start to notice, oh, it's not looking so good. It's crabgrass. What do I do? And so what we – obviously, there's so many ways to answer this question. The easiest thing to do if they want to get after it right away is to get your mower and set it a little bit lower, cut that crabgrass down, and seed something into it. At this time of year, we favor Kentucky bluegrass and perennial ryegrass. And as from what Vicki Wallace is telling us, she's not having good success with putting tall fescue down as an overseeding grass, particularly under intense traffic towards the later part of the fall. So you might want to, if it's going to go on a lawn, it might go on now. Get it on there and then let the crabgrass serve as a mulch. And eventually the crabgrass will decline after the frost, and then the grass will regrow behind it. And what we aren't recommending, Carl, is any chemical applications to the crabgrass at this time, because it's going to regrow. It's going to die off on its own. So doing something to deal with the seed bank would be good by scalping it down or thrashing it with a dethatcher or just disturbing it so you could get the grass seed in the ground to compete with in these ideal growing conditions coming forward if we have ideal moisture moving forward. Mm-hmm. And as the crabgrass declines, the cool season grass will come on. So that, of course, raised the question about what about these warm season, cool season grasses where zoysia grass is becoming more popular?
Right, so especially down in Long Island, we're seeing this, Nick Menchek has mentioned this in Home Lawns, the warm season grass invasion. He was talking about a zoysia, about 50% of the lawn was when infested with zoysia. We don't maybe have very many answers in terms of the management of the cool and warm season grass lawns, but maybe we could talk about some of the general issues we'll see with the warm season grasses in those systems.
Right, and you know, we're seeing this in our research plots now that we're developing at Greenwood Cemetery in Brooklyn, where they're being inundated with warm season grasses, zoysia grass, and Bermuda grass. Now, these are perennial grasses. They'll persist year after year as opposed to crabgrass, right? That's an annual grass in our climate, mm-hmm. still dies off after the frost. The zoysia and Bermuda will just go dormant. And, of course, having Bermuda this far north is an indication that, you know, we are experiencing some measure of warming, in the system over, decades where these plants are not dying in the wintertime. So, it's hard to really say what to do, but one of the things that's clear about this is these grasses are not going to be controllable. We're not going to be able to eliminate them from the landscape. We're going to find them in combination with cool season grasses, as we heard from Nick talk about, where he had a cool season lawn that failed and crabgrass moved in and the zoysia grass was doing good and he had crabgrass there and wondering about taking care of it in the future. Well, one of the good things about some of these warm season grasses is that they tend to keep out some of the problem weeds we struggle with in cool season grasses, both broadleaf and annual grass weeds like crabgrass. But with zoysia grass, you know, it seems to be issue-free, but listen to Rich Buckley and talk to him. Occasionally you'll have chinch bug problems, and they'll be hellacious because they really like to stay in that organic material underneath the zoysia. They will occasionally have brown patch problems, and we'll see brown patch. If you're seeing brown patch problems on zoysia grass, you certainly are seeing brown patch problems on cool season grasses. So I guess we want to start opening up the minds now of everyone in our industry to recognize that we're going to have to start thinking about our landscapes differently from a grass perspective. And if we're not able to get the latest genetics into our stands that can tolerate the warmer, drier conditions, we may have to start thinking about finding a way to play nice with zoysia grass that dominates lawns from the tip of Long Island to as far north as Albany. We hear from some of the people on the calls, and I'm sure everywhere in between. So a very interesting time ahead of us. The sort of, you know, the crazy thing would be, well, if you have a zoysia grass lawn, scalp it down, throw a bunch of ryegrass, and do like they've done in the South, where you actually overseed a cool season grass into a warm season stand. We're not at the point where we want to recommend that, but we are certainly beginning some research in that area around the hybridized cool season, warm season grass mixtures.
Yeah, and this is certainly an area where we need research because these hybrid systems are becoming more prevalent and will need to be managed differently. So with that, we'd like to thank everybody for joining us on today's Shortcut Early Bird podcast. If you're listening on iTunes, don't forget to leave us a review and comment for some feedback. And also don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Facebook as well for daily updates. See you next week.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.